Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two, and my very special guest is still the great Dane Wigington. He's a dog with a bone in the shape of a Boeing 747 with giant chemtrail tanks attached. Now, you have seen, I'm not sure if you actually have come to think of it, recently somebody published a number of pictures of chemtrail spraying apparatus that they attach to planes that are actually detachable. Have you seen this?
I don't know if I've seen those.
Okay. Well,
I think that's probably not the case for the majority of what we see, but at any given point, it's hard to tell what other experiments might be going on. And, you know, there's so many pictures online. In fact, a lot of the pictures of the weather mod planes are just the smaller regional weather modification programs. Those are much smaller aircraft, much smaller apparatus, some of the silver iodide flares that go on the wings and the underbellies. And a lot of times here in the media, Vincent, they'll use those planes to more or less distract from the giant tankers that, you know, have fuselages filled with payload that they spew out over thousands and thousands of miles. So
it's chemical warfare.
That's exactly what it is. I mean, at this point, the whole planet is being immersed in weather wars that are literally, by the day, eliminating any chance for even short-term survival for not just our species, but for life on Earth. And that's how serious the situation is. And there's some people from academia starting to admit to this that are showing tremendous courage. Guy McPherson was one such academician from the University of Arizona. He's a professor emeritus. I hold him in very high regard, and he's speaking out as to the immediacy of our situation. And people tend to think of terms of thousands of years or hundreds of years, perhaps, before we would have any real environmental issues. There is very credible data right now from some of the frontline scientists. The AMI group is one, the Arctic Methane Emergency Group, and I'm not in complete agreement with these scientists, obviously, because they're not admitting to the elephant in the room either, geoengineering. In fact, some of them are calling for geoengineering as if it hasn't been going on for 60 years already. From the person I know in that group, it's my understanding that most of the group knows it's going on, but they simply can't talk about it and still keep breathing, if you understand. Certain people in certain posts are much more endangered by speaking out than those of us that are outside the system. But you have frontline scientists right now saying on our current trajectory, life in the Northern Hemisphere may end in as little as two decades. And if you graph out what's currently happening, I believe those trajectories may be optimistic. So, again, what's unraveling now is so fast. I mean, taking Northern California, where literally in 1 year's time, the forest has gone silent. There's almost nothing out there living, walking, moving, birds, bears. I mean, I live in the middle of what was just absolutely thriving, untouched wilderness. It is absolutely completely different in the last couple of years, especially the last year. So it's the speed at which this is unraveling is blinding.
Now, it's quite a difficult one to handle as well. This is not something I'm going to say lightly, nor with intent to ever carry it out, nor to encourage anybody else to do it. These chemtrail planes, an article was recently released of pilots fearing that their chemtrail planes would be shot down by, or rather, have people pointing lasers at them and what have them and endanger their life. What if somebody had an anti-aircraft weapon of some kind and literally was shooting down these aircraft? You know, it would just be terrible because who would bear the brunt of the bad PR for such a callous act? It certainly wouldn't be the chemtrail geoengineering planes that are spraying everybody and killing the entire forest and indeed the entire world. It would be this one terrible and dare I say it, crazy person. And I mean that literally. You'd have to be crazy to actually want to do that and justify it. It would be all of us. Chemtrail activists, people who have been talking about it for years, people who are exposing the truth, they'd bear the brunt. And so it occurs to me that if it was to ever happen, it would be the government who does it to themselves just so that they can blame us, you know, a false flag, if you will. And
yeah.
Somebody asked me once, why don't all of these bad people get assassinated? And I said to him, it's simple. Only a good person would want to see those bad people get assassinated. Except good people don't assassinate people.
They don't. And here's a big part of the equation that puts me in further agreement with you. Such a notion to take that tack, to try to meet the military-industrial complex head-on, would completely fail. It would bury all of us that are engaged in this movement. And two, it's the wrong approach because the vast majority of people involved with these programs are good people who simply have not yet woken up, who have been told that they're doing something benevolent for the common good. I spoke to a KC-135 pilot face-to-face who didn't know what he was doing up there. When he went back to ask questions, he soon found himself medicated behind a desk. So the vast majority of these people are not our enemy. Now, I don't want to insinuate that none of them are responsible for what they're doing, because that's not true. And those that knew what they were doing, if we can expose this and we find out people that knowingly engage in this, knowing how lethal it was, such people should be tried in a court of law. They should be, because they are responsible. But so many of them, so many of our military brothers and sisters simply are being lied to, absolutely blatantly lied to, just like those that have had their limbs blown off in countries like Afghanistan and Iraq, and they think they're fighting for the common good, and now are beginning to realize that they're simply cannon fodder for the power elite. And I think the dissension in the ranks is growing. And if you look at, if we carry this even a little further, Vincent, if you look at the lack of protest, the lack of dissension, even within the military and the universities, there has been incredibly elaborate measures taken by the power structure. Since the 60s, for example, in Vietnam, when the music carried a message of justice and peace that was very resonating amongst the universities and so forth, you don't have any of that now. And I have read some pretty astounding and seemingly credible accounts of tremendous efforts by the power structure to hijack even the music industry so that the music no longer contains these inspirational messages that matter. And in fact, it doesn't. I mean, the music that we hear in the States it's absolutely mindless, meaningless, inspirationless garbage. And that message is no longer there. And you have all these social conditioning measures that have been put into place to sort of diffuse people's conscious thought. They don't think deeply anymore. They don't think like poets and warriors. They don't. And we need to wake that up in people. And I've been into our armed services branches, recruiting offices here in California, the Marines, the Navy, the Army, and the Air Force, and had very, very congenial and actually warm conversations with the military service members in there while passing on data about geoengineering, films, flyers, and explaining to them that although I salute their service, that the scientific community has convinced the military of our country to engage in programs that are absolutely lethal for us all. And I pleaded for them to investigate. And they were very cordial and very open and very receptive. And these people need to be our friends. We need to have them on our side. And if we could simply bring this to light and those military brothers and sisters realize that, that they were participating in the demise of their own children and their own comrades, I would bet my bottom dollar enough of them will refuse to participate that we'll have a whole new game. We'll have a whole new scenario. So that's the goal, not to meet anything head-on with something that, as you correctly stated, would cause the whole equation to blow up on our face, exactly what the power structure would want, but to take the opposite approach, to reach out to our military brothers and sisters with information and an open hand, because we need them.
Well, you're right, and also I've found that is often the case with many people whose job it is to risk their lives to a degree. Obviously, if you're stateside, there ain't a whole lot of risk being in military service. But of course, if you're being deployed overseas, you've seen the suffering, you've seen the reality. I think no American who hasn't, no American who's been there and done that approves of it unless they're psychopathic, right? And ergo, this is what's actually happening now in the United States. We have a record number of military personnel waking up. Why? Because they've all gone on rotation. They've all gone over there and they've seen what lies the government has wrought and how it costs the lives of not only their brothers and sisters beside them, but of those innocent children, women, old men, in a culture that they do not understand. That is a powerful wake-up call. And it's like a thread coming loose on a sweater. That's what it is. They've been tightly woven by the military-industrial complex to believe, to act, to kill without thinking. But the thread has come into view, and sometimes it only takes somebody like us to come along and pull at that thread.
I think that's a great analogy. And this unraveling that's occurring, and I am hearing from more people that are now back from their tours, and they're waking up to a lot of things, but they're definitely waking up to geoengineering. And this, again, this undercurrent of awareness, I think, is much broader than we realize. And it appears also on the bigger picture, based on a number of factors that I see, that there is infighting in the power structure now. And this is what we would expect when there's no longer enough to go around. It's just like mafia families fighting over turf when there's not enough to go around. And I think we're really at that point, and that's a step forward. Again, it sometimes has to get worse before it gets better, but a splintering of the power structure would definitely be a step forward. So that unraveling that you speak of, I think, might be coming from a number of places on that sweater. And we need to speed up the tugging of those strings, because we don't have a lot of time. Again, there are points of no return that have already been passed in regards to the Earth life support systems. That doesn't mean a definite scenario of the planet supporting no life, but quite simply, our planet is not an anvil that you can beat on forever. It's a life supporting, quite miraculous orb in a very hostile environment of space. And what's going on in our atmosphere right now, the only thing that keeps us alive is our atmosphere. And what's going on right now is absolutely the epitome of human insanity. And it has to be stopped quite quickly, or I believe there will be too much momentum in these feedback mechanisms to ever begin to stop. And even right now, we are facing a planet that's very different from the one we've known. And the climate aspect of this, Vincent, for the power structure, because I've had military service people say to me that they believe what's being done is certainly for the greater good. And this is the big, big lie. The power structure doesn't do anything for the greater good, as we all know. And right now, part of what they're doing, because all the military installations that are located along coastlines, we have coastal habitation around the globe that's really a majority percentage of civilization, and the ramifications from sea level rise, for example, is cataclysmic to modern civilization. So in every effort to keep the status quo, and they can accomplish a lot of things at once. They can, and I think this is what they're doing. You have weather warfare, so you have military strategic purposes. They're trying to control Earth's life support systems and play God with really the planet as a whole. And it's a way to try to slowly and more calmly reduce populations. Certainly, we know eugenics has been discussed enough, and we know statistically the planet can't support the population that's here. It's already happening. You're already seeing anarchy unravel in many places, as we mentioned earlier. So they're accomplishing a lot of things at once, but in their mind. But overall, the degree to which they're pulling the noose around their own neck is starting to show up amongst their own ranks, and I think that's in our favor. The more that we can expose this, and if we're being listened to right now, and I know a lot of my phone calls, I hear a lot of strange things happening, and I hope they're listening. I really do. I would think with all we know about NSA, they're certainly listening. And I think that's a good thing, because I think the sooner that these people realize that they are torpedoing their own ship, and we're all going to go down together, perhaps some of them will wake up.
Big Brother is watching and listening. Let's give him a good show. You mentioned before about how this is merely the epitome of insanity. I believe it's caused by a lack of humanity, and it can only be solved by an abundance and remembrance of what it means to belong to the human race. Remembrance of those who have either died or spent their lives fighting in service to human dignity and freedom. If you remember all of those who have given up all of that for you, it is a moral obligation to take up that mantle and continue their fight, lest they be forgotten.
Well, on that note, this is part of what makes me tick as well, and my lineage is Choctaw, Native American. It's distant, but I have a direct line to part of the Choctaw chiefs that signed the signature to the Trail of Tears. And anybody who's familiar with the Trail of Tears, it's one of the most heartbreaking stories of what was done to the American Indians. But those men who cherished the life support that the planet gave them, that they understood their relationship with the planet. No environment, no people. That's quite simple. So, and for all those that fought, from the Native Americans to all the present day activists who give all to try to preserve this for the common good, not for their own self-interest, but for the common good, who truly engage. And for even, I think of even our military brothers and sisters, Vincent, who, regardless of the conflict, were fighting for what they believed to be values. And I worked rehabbing NAM vets for a while as a volunteer. Broken men stepped on mines. And yes, the conflict was based on false premise and unnecessary, but it never lessened my respect and regard for these men who believed in what they were doing, if that's clear. So for all those who have given their lives, and all the bigger figures that we all know of, the Gandhis and the Martin Luther Kings, and there's a tremendous amount of people whom we can honor by trying to uphold certain principles. But the time right now, again, is short in that we face a different scenario than at any point in time in the past. And I think the likelihood of us losing our ability to communicate as you and I are right now becomes more certain by the day. And it could happen tomorrow, it could be a few months, but based on global equilibrium being lost, and it's being lost quickly as we see these conflicts unraveling everything around the globe, and with the geoengineering, again, as things become too critical, we have Homeland Security here, has ordered, I think, I'm sure you know this, Vincent, they've ordered something like 2.2 billion rounds of 40 caliber hollow point. You know that, right?
I heard even more but
it perhaps was. It's gone.
It was an order that coincided with another order of, I think, millions of cardboard cutouts of children, pregnant women, and the elderly for target practice.
Well, this all sounds very implausible to certain people, but I would hope that they wake up, because in the case of the ammo orders, certainly there was no dispute. There was no dispute. This was an order by Homeland Security. So the point I'm getting at is...
Well, not to mention, I'm sorry to interrupt, Dane, but
it's
not just ammunition that they ordered, it's hollow point ammunition, which is illegal to use under the Geneva Convention.
And it has only one purpose, to inflict mortality on a human being. So with this kind of an order, how people can't be completely up in arms right now, and this gets back to complacency we talked about at the beginning of the conversation, it's astounding to me. But people should consider that our situation is so precarious and so immediate that with this kind of preparation being made by Homeland Security, clearly they're anticipating very horrendous events to ensue. And with the geoengineering, as lethal as it is now, and as steadily and surely as it is contaminating us and making us all sicker, if they fly over with the right mix, it's game over right then. And they have pathogens. We know in 2000 there was 40-plus biolabs in the continental U.S. experimenting with pathogens. I think by 2010 there were 400. They're preparing for something. So, again, with the pathogens they have, and already it seems that there's experimentation going on, as the Carnicom Institute has verified, but if they fly over with the right mix, that's the end of the road right then. And people need to understand that apparatus is already set up in place. So the gravity of our situation can't be overstated, and the immediacy can't be overstated either. So these are points that need to be driven home with people. Whatever their plans were, whatever football games they planned on watching in the coming days and weeks, and if people want to have any shred of honor and any shred of participation in the whole, they're going to have to get up on the bench, off the bench, right now. Mm. We don't have to.
Well, I recall just the other day, and I was editing this video last night, I said three things motivate a good man: honor, integrity, and moral obligation.
Well, I mean, that's the bottom line. And for people along those lines, would be wise to remember the only thing that any of us own is our will. That's all. Everything else can be taken. And in fact, soon everything else likely will, one way or the other. Because this paradigm we've known is coming to a very rapid end. There's no getting around that for anybody who's really looking without filters. We've gone for a short time on resources that have been built up over a very long time, and whatever technology has been suppressed, and likely there's probably some very beneficial technologies that have been suppressed. But that being said, so much damage has been done because of the types of technology we have used, that now there's simply no going back in many ways. So, again, the sooner people embrace that, the sooner they place value on the virtues that you just outlined and decide why they're here, what matters, what doesn't, prioritize, what's the biggest leak in the ship, and you know, put things in proper order to keep the horse in front of the cart, so to speak. So we're there. And on the actual effect of these programs, Vincent, I'm curious, you live in a very lush place. I had the great pleasure of traveling to New Zealand twice. I'm still impressed with the giant ferns and the lushness of it. Has that changed?
Well, no, not really. Apart from the fact that there's very little life in the forests, because other than chemtrail geoengineering, we also dump $50 million worth of the world's most toxic poison, known as Compound 1080, We're the only country in the world that licenses it for outdoor use. It's illegal everywhere else in the entire planet. And they dump it via helicopter into the pristine native bush, and everything eats it. And it's a food chain disruptor as well. So if a bug eats it and then a bird eats the bug will die. And then if a possum eats the bird, that possum will die. And then if a larger predator eats the possum, that will die too. So that's kind of what's happening here environmentally. On top of that, the chemtrails. On top of that, the government opening up the national parks for mining. On top of that, the government now giving Anadarko and other large, massive, dangerous oil companies who were responsible in no small part for the Gulf of Mexico incident to do offshore drilling and prospecting. It may still be looking all right, maybe on the surface, but something draws near. Something grows within that I don't like the prospect of facing.
You know, it's astounding how the population, and certainly the Kiwis are, I think, as a population, they're quite fond of their lush islands, yes?
Some, those who actually live in them, and the vast majority of New Zealanders do not live on the land. They live in cities, and what they value is 24-hour supermarkets where they can buy beer at the middle of the night.
So things are changing, certainly. I mean, I was there, it's been about 20 years ago when I was there last, but the free diving there, which is what I was spending much of my time doing there, just the blue water diving, and the amount of marine life was absolutely incredible. It was incredible. I imagine that still to be one of the remaining places where it is, because here, I think you've probably heard about the marine die-off all over the West Coast. Now, I think I share with you off-air that on the beaches of Texas, I just got firsthand input about a very big die-off occurring there. I mean, littered all over the beach. Things are imploding at absolutely breakneck speed. Some of the areas, I'm not sure if you might have seen any of the data, Vincent, 100-plus miles off the California coast, some of the seafloor area there is completely littered with dead marine life. And the crashing of the oceans is yet one more very grim harbinger of the implosion of life on Earth. And species extinction rates, which I talk about a lot, but people need to try to get their arms around this, the species extinction rate today is conservatively 200 plant and animal species extinctions every single day. This figure I throw out a lot, and I think people think it's a rounded figure out of a hat. It's not. That's 10,000 times background extinction rates. There's nothing normal about that. And people, my own mother, I'm sorry to say, counters me with an argument I've heard from others. Species have always gone extinct, like somehow it's normal, but not at 10,000 times background. That's 1,000,000% of normal. But that's their mindset. Their mindset is what society has conditioned them with, that everything's always fine, everything will blow over, everything will be okay, just go about your personal pursuit of pleasure. And that's what most people do. But this is about as natural as running somebody over in a crosswalk and saying, people die, it's natural. Nothing natural about when they died right then. Or you know, you'll... I don't know, you hear all sorts of arguments about defending, you know, things that are going on, it's always happened, this and that, and that's just a sort of conditioned denial that we've all, or so much of society has been successfully indoctrinated with.
Yeah, yeah. And what I find interesting is, in fact, I said this on the radio just yesterday, Dane, a lot of people predict the end of the world, but they don't actually have any evidence. It's just like a prediction, you know, like 2012, Y2K, Comedizen, et cetera, Nostradamus, or whatever his name was. And what's actually kind of occurred to me is that the end of the world's coming regardless, and it ain't going to be by somebody's exact predicted timeline by which it happens. It's already in full swing. It is ending as we speak. Ergo, anybody who predicts exact dates, exact events, exact things of such a nature doesn't know what they're talking about, and I will live in perpetual denial of their perception of reality. Not because I think everything's going to be fine and I'm just choosing to live in denial. It's just, I know that those predictions don't actually matter, right? Because I've got work to do, exposing scumbaggery and saving whatever we have left.
I'm going to remember that term. That's certainly very descriptive and very accurate, scumbaggery term. On the date thing, yes, that's always folly for anybody who tries to pick that. I mean, the only thing you can rationally do, if you look at our whole situation, and you compare it to maybe a car going 100 miles an hour and 10 feet from impact into a side of a cliff, you can't say exactly how it's going to turn out, but you can say it's going to be ugly. And no matter how hard you put the brakes on, it's too late. And at this point, civilization is not only not putting the brakes on, they're hitting the accelerator. So we're all sort of in the proverbial Thelma and Louise moment. You know, we're off the cliff. Now it's free fall. And the more we get into that free fall, the more insane humanity behaves. It's like the fracking. I mean, how you hear a lot of people rant about the fracking like it's some sort of a wonderful thing, but I don't think it takes a lot of deduction to consider that if you bore a hole in the ground, pump 500-plus chemicals down under high pressure, you're going to contaminate things. And right now, I mean, that sort of mentality and the amount of countries that are willing to engage in practices like that, it shows the ever more desperate attempt for resources at any cost and the sort of blindness that goes with that. In the year 1900, it took about one barrel of hydrocarbon worth of energy to get 100 out of the ground. Now we're about one per five or six. So, in other words, it takes a full barrel of hydrocarbon energy in order to extract five or six barrels compared to 20 at the turn of the century. So, and a lot of that extraction or what's extracted is lower grade material. So there's an ever larger push of insanity to get at these resources. And you can just see the whole human condition starting to unravel with no real regard for the sustainability of anything, you know. And again, when you have the environmentalists we talked about earlier who claim to be in this for the long run, for the sustainability and so forth, and where are they in the equation, you know, sitting the bench really for the things that matter. So it's tough. There's only a few that are, I think, looking at things clearly and trying to address it in terms of prioritization. And we need more. And that's what I'm going to keep focusing on with disseminations, Vincent, is to try to get people to pick a priority. You know, you don't go home and go about your life, and then every 2 weeks when you look up and it's a bad spray day, jump up and down, and then, you know, make a few calls that day and then go about your business for the next 2 weeks. Because I get a lot of that. I get people who call me and go into some big tirade because the sky's a complete grid pattern and the rain's been sprayed away again, but then they disappear for 2 weeks or a month. And that's not helpful. And I'm at the point now where I don't want to communicate with people like that anymore because it's not helpful, not to the cause, not to the work I'm trying to do. And you must get that, don't you?
I do to a degree, and what occurs to me is, as you're saying this with the fracking and the contamination and what have you, and the oil extraction, is that the elite already control all the oil resources and all of this kind of stuff, and they don't actually care. Ergo, I don't think fracking is about extraction, and I don't think the contamination is a side effect. I think that the contamination is actually the intention. Contaminate the land, reduce the population, force people into the elite-controlled smart growth cells in the cities. However, but at the same time, it's getting away on them. Let's not forget that Frankenstein's monster killed Frankenstein.
You may be you may be onto something with fracking, and I certainly can't say that I know one way or the other. It's the same with the geoengineering. I know a lot of people feel that the only reason they're geoengineering is to simply contaminate us all. And although I believe that that is one intent, the correlation with weather systems and weather and the events that are triggered are so glaringly for a specific purpose that it's really impossible for me to ignore that aspect. For example, the various instances where we've seen weather modification exercised on countries for military strategic purposes, like I mentioned earlier, Pakistan, Thailand, the cyclone Haiyan that just cut through the Philippines. We have Ahmadinejad's been on the floor of the UN twice to state, not that our media covered it, but to state that his country was being droughted out. So we see these very glaringly manipulated events in that sense with weather. And with the fracking, that certainly may be one primary element that they're connected to their objective. What makes me still consider the fact that human behavior is that insane to pursue things without the regard for consequences. Some of my favorite literature is Stoic philosophy. It's 2,000 years old. It's been an anchor for me my whole life. And this philosophy, in fact, the Discourses of Epictetus, which is, he was a lame slave who was the mentor of the Roman Emperor Marcus Aurelius. And this philosophy is so grounded, and it describes so well the mindset of people 2,000 years ago, and it was so similar. It's, you know, without fluoride in their water, just their human nature was so similar, their lack of regard for the consequences for their actions. And when we look at, and this could still be connected to your conclusions on fracking, it doesn't contradict with that at all. When you consider psychoanalysis of psychopaths, and there is quite in-depth analysis, the common thread for various forms of psychosis is a complete lack of comprehension as to the consequences of their actions, even to themselves. So if your hypothesis is right, and it may be, that may be, you know, one of the, it keeps the sheeple busy, digging holes in the ground and polluting everything, and maybe that's accomplishing what the power structure wants. But in doing so, just like the feedback mechanisms that have been triggered, like methane hydrate release from the Arctic Ocean, can't be turned off now. Well, the last time this has happened in similar fashion, 55 million years ago, the Paleocene-Eocene, mass extinction globally, 70% terrestrial extinction, 94% aquatic, and the equilibrium period was about 15 to 20 million years. So no matter how deep their holes are in the ground that they're stocking up, and they appear to be stocking up for this coming, they're not going to stay underground that long. So, again, I think they're shooting themselves in the foot no matter what their plan is.
Now, I think that if you were to look at society, you've heard the phrase, oh, we live in an insane world. Why is this any of any surprise that the people who are running the world are completely insane? In fact, shouldn't that be the first conclusion that you jump to? Oh, the world's freaking crazy. That's because it's run by crazy people, douchebag.
It is, but how do those crazy people get there? Because
they're really good at lying, putting, and manipulating people because they've got the best psychologists and political scientists and spin doctors that money can buy, and they use the best part of our human character against us.
All true. All completely true. And even with that in mind, we also have the factor of the vast, vast, vast majority of society does not seem to feel the responsibility toward the common good when they see certain things manifesting themselves, certain evils, if you will. They don't seem to feel the sense of responsibility to try to set the train back on the tracks, to try to get the course heading fixed. And this is perplexing to me. I mean, I don't know very many people who feel any sense of responsibility toward the common good, if you will. As long as their own little situation is okay, they don't seem to care much about what their responsibility might be. So, you know, I certainly hope this changes, but those people in power, yes, are there because they do things that you or I would never do. So it should be no surprise that they end up in power, but the astounding part, again, is this percentage of society that will simply not feel a sense of responsibility to try to fix that situation. And
well, the difference with our... Oh, sorry, continue. Right?
Well, I would only say the difference with our situation now is that people will not have the luxury of looking the other way much longer, because they're going to be looking for the next bite of food. And our situation is that serious. And this will not happen slowly. This will not be some long, protracted, drawn-out situation. Once a link in the chain drops out in this incredibly, incredibly complex balancing act that is modern civilization, once it breaks down, it will completely collapse at blinding speed. And this is something people should keep in the front of their mind.
Now, three things you've triggered in my mind there. The first thing is the phrase, from cradle to grave. This is what some believe that the government is there for. They're there to protect you as your loving nurturer, and they're there to bury you as your as something that will outlast you to a large degree. And the other is individual responsibility versus collectivism. Now, you've got a forest around you, and even you understand that that forest doesn't actually exist. The only thing that actually really exists are the things you can touch, like the trees, like the soil. All of those things actually create the collective of themselves, but the collective itself is just a mental abstraction. It doesn't actually exist. So what people have done is they've mixed up this cradle to the grave mentality with collectivism. And as a direct result of lifetime indoctrination, you know how in Hollywood they have these lifetime achievement awards? Well, I think what most people have been rewarded with for their existence is a lifetime indoctrination award, right? They've never had an original thought, and any original thoughts that they did have were criticized and beaten out of them in one way or another, whether that be intellectually or in some cases physically. As a result, we have a humanity that is not humanity. We have people that are not people. Everything is upside down, as a famous quote said. What was it? Doctors destroy health. Lawyers destroy justice. The universities destroy knowledge. The major media destroys information. The government destroys freedom. And religions destroy spirituality. The only way that this can happen is through inversion. To tell somebody a lie that is the complete opposite of everything that they are planning to do. I believe this was one of the greatest discoveries that Germany stumbled upon, was if you tell a big enough lie and tell it often enough, people will begin to believe it. And the third point that you've triggered is the fact that people don't believe in themselves anymore as a result of getting that beaten out of them. And you can't understand the psychopathic mentality. Sorry, this was actually what I meant to say. The reason why people find this confusing, the reason why they find it very difficult to understand the mentality behind purposely doing that to the entire human race, is because you're not a psychopath. You don't think like they do. You don't rationalize like they do. And do you know what you'd have to do in order to completely and fully understand the mind of the insane? Is to become insane yourself. And sure enough, most of us have.
Those are very accurate insights, and I think that's one of the reasons that they can keep things hidden in such plain sight. 9/11, for example, and Building 7 coming down, you can't really rationally look at that and not recognize that that building was demoed. And the whole 9/11 scenario, I mean, the official story, there's nothing that really adds up in any way, shape, or form. I was 8 years old when I first saw the Kennedy assassination. That was 8 years after it happened. But my parents were there, and it occurred to me, how can your head fly backward if you got shot from behind. It just didn't add up. And I remember their attempt to quiet me down and convince me that the government had it all figured out, and certainly they would never do anything wrong. And, you know, that sort of mindset where, as you correctly stated, people can't understand how a psychopath thinks because they're not wired that way. And that's part of the reason why people can overlook the spraying they see with their own eyes, because they can't imagine why someone would do that, because they're not thinking in the terms of the psychopathic leaders that are doing it. And yet, even people who can't make that leap are also on some sort of an island where they're not really grounded to that freedom of thought that they should have had, because they can't seem to recognize or accept what they see either, even though it's right in front of them. So they're sort of caught in this backwater where they can't seem to connect the dots on much of anything. And there's too many people in that category right now, and yet and every provision has been made to keep those people busy with reality shows, with all sorts of distractions. And right now, we see that on a very extreme level. As the walls close in, there's ever more distractions and ever more effort, I believe, to keep the people distracted and busy till the last moment. And I think that moment might be much nearer than we believe. Again, whatever shoe is going to drop, Vincent, I think it's not far off. And right now, back to geoengineering and back to what we see happening, the NOAA maps, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, that we see right now for the whole western U.S. is truly apocalyptic, the heating they show here. Now, I don't know whether they're trying to intentionally heat the West because it's so extreme what we see in the maps, if this indeed plays out. Are they trying to create thermal expansion? Are they trying to perhaps trigger seismic activity? I don't know. But I've never seen maps that look this frightening. I mean, in the sense that we're already burning up completely. It's already, literally, we have cities all over the state of California, some on the coast, that normally receive tremendous amounts of rain, have received less rain than Death Valley's normal annual rainfall. They've virtually cut us off. So I would argue that there are big wheels turning right now, plans being played out right now, and that people better keep their eye on the horizon, because I think the light we see is an oncoming train, as they say.
Now, you mentioned reality TV, trying to distract people there. Don't you find the very term reality TV to be a paradox?
It truly is. Yeah. It truly is.
And when you're talking about how it's almost like we're being prepared, like a farmer might prepare a pig for the slaughter and what have you. You feed them all the best, you treat them really well, until the day that you cut their throat and leave them out to bleed out. Now, that's one of the principles of Fabian socialism. What's their symbol again? They got two symbols that they identify themselves with. Number one, the most well known one is a wolf in sheep's clothing. Number two is a tortoise wielding a hammer. So you can understand that the implications there. Obviously, one pretends to be something else so it can eat you without you knowing that it's even there, and the other meaning it advances so slowly towards you, but then when it strikes with the killing blow. And that's something that I think people need to comprehend about the patience, the malice of these people, right? And what kind of strength of character and will and a desire to do good must be rising to oppose it. You know, as they say in physics, every action has an equal and opposite reaction. You are here because of these actions, Dane, so am I. They would never predict that people like us, in exactly the form and exactly the substance by which we would come out. They probably have general ideas about how to keep us under wraps and keep us afraid and keep us inactive. However, I don't think that the New World Order system can hold back a mass awakening. A mass awakening is precisely what is needed. And what's great about this system, and indeed many many brilliant ideas, sow the seed of their own defeat via the implementation of themselves. They've created an entire human race that is so easily lied to that they'll believe anything. And now we're trying to tell them the truth, and they won't believe it unless we lie to them about it. Isn't that strange? I've always been perplexed by that. And the third thing that occurs to me is the dire situation we're in. People panic. People do sometimes terrible things, but sometimes really amazing things when the chips are down, don't they? And what's happening now, and I think it's summarized like this. Water is life. And at the moment, there are certain places in America that receive less water than a place called Death Valley.
It's very telling. And it's, in fact, everything you described, I would agree with. And I certainly ponder that sort of thoughts a lot in those that rise up, no matter how ominous and insurmountable the odds look, there are people who rise up. And I was very inspired by an Israeli Air Force pilot I just saw interviewed some time back, that in spite of tremendous pressure from his ranks, his peers, he refused to fly bombing runs over Gaza. And you see people like this that do surface, and they're there. We need more to find that spark of inspiration and honor that causes them to stand up. But yes, these things, they are all interconnected, and it's hard to fathom with the collective insanity, which is a term I feel fits that which we fight. It's truly hard to imagine, because we can't think like them, the length of time they have planned what they have planned through generations and generations. And even we see, and I'm trying to find some old meteorological journals that actually, it's a global journal. It appears these journals are being snapped up. They're being taken out of circulation, because I feel there's photos that could help us understand more about what was atmospherically before these programs really came into play, which goes back a long way now, which goes back into the 40s, and it appears there was a great deal of effort made to lay the groundwork for these aerosol programs in a manner that would make them appear natural, as a natural occurrence of aviation some 70 years later. And we found even one of these meteorological journals from the 20s that had depictions of stratocirrus clouds that were aerosol clouds in the 20s. Now, certainly there were academicians that were hypothesizing about this sort of atmospheric modification even then. So were they planning, even before aviation had really, really begun to hit higher levels of technology, were they planning for this then? It seems they may have been. In fact, if you look at some of the whole secret society lineage, if you will, how much have they planned for, and for how long, and how many generations has this carried out over, while these organizations grow like a cancer, literally like a cancer that's devouring its host? And it's astounding to me. I can't think like that. I can't imagine being a part of such a society and a part of such a cancerous human movement. But yet, that's what we have. And now we are at that point. We're at that crossroads. We've passed the crossroads. The cancer appears to be very close to killing its host, the planet, and all life. And so, anyway, I don't know how it'll play out. I don't pretend to know. I know that we must keep marching in a direction that makes the most sense, is most rational right now. And there are certain things we could yet accomplish and then reassess our situations after. But for you, Vincent, is that tough for you to grapple with, to think about how many generations these secret societies have perpetuated themselves and maintain themselves, expand themselves while the population has slept.
It is unsurprising to me that such an agenda can be played out. And the lesson of history is that no generation that has ever existed is ever more than one or two generations away from freedom or enslavement. If you get freed one generation, one or two generations later you will be enslaved. That is the lesson of history. It is a cycle. Over and over and over again, it repeats itself. Today, with technology, with the information age, perhaps the reason why revolutions and tyrannical takeovers alike happen is because people lacked the communications. They lacked the ability to communicate ideas in an open and free format that was readily accessible by all beings that were capable of accessing it, of course. I think maybe we're on history-making turf here, where perhaps we can create a revolution within the world, not a violent revolution, not a half-assed dictator after the fact revolution, not soft, but strong. Strong in its belief that in order to preserve any freedom that we gain from such a revolution, we must be perpetually vigilant, as the Founding Fathers warned. And I think that maybe we have the technology to put those warnings into the minds of men and women and children of every subsequent generation, so that this kind of scumbaggery would not surface again. And if it did, it would be relatively minor and be quashed soon after. That is my great hope. And I get criticized very often, Dane, for not offering enough solutions, for just talking about the problems. I believe that you define what it is you want and you define the solutions you require by what it is you are not prepared to accept, by what it is you are willing to sacrifice in order to do so.
I would agree to that, and I aspire to those hopes as well, that human nature might develop to a point where such values might be more inherent. Certainly they're not there now, because we see the same behavior. And again, this is why this Stoic philosophy has been so important to me, and is such a shining, glaring example of the fact that human nature has changed really not at all in the last few thousand years. And now, again, with technology, as you stated, I mean, the consequences for this sort of behavior now is near total, because, in fact, on the trajectory we're on, we're much closer than almost any realized to a planet that will sustain no life at all. So with my children, I try to instill in them that if we have a chance to start again, if we could ever be a part of a rebirth of humanity or society, what would be the basic premise? And it's instilled in my children that if it's not good for the whole, it's not good for you, period. And this is a basic premise on which I think anything that could truly be sustained in any manner civilly would have to be built, and it's simply completely lacking. I mean, what do we have in our society right now, Vincent? It's just it's the sort of Wall Street greed is good, serve thyself mentality that has brought us to this place, and I think right now it's even more rampant than ever, in spite of the fact that we're off the cliff and in free fall. Where, you know, people think you're flying. I guess if you leap off a 100-story building, maybe it feels like you're flying until you hit the sidewalk. And right now we're passing the second story, and the sidewalk is the next stop. So we'll see who wakes up between now and impact time, but that could happen tomorrow. I mean, every domino is in place for a total collapse. Could happen tomorrow. Chances are it won't be long, because You can't hide certain things much longer. You can't hide the fact that the oceans are virtually imploding. Just checked today, tuna stocks globally are at least 97% depleted. Now, once you're down to the last few fish, the final implosion comes quite quickly. So you have a food source that has fed a huge percentage of the planet that's now basically gone. You have harvests, terrestrial harvests, that are plummeting. You have populations that are exploding. It's not hard to see where this is headed, and it's unraveling right now, as we spoke earlier. So people should try to get their arms around the immediacy of the situation and don't hide from it. You know, I mean, there's empowerment in facing something, no matter how overwhelming and ominous it is. There's empowerment in just simply making a decision to face it head on, period.
I think you're right. We'll be right back after the break, ladies and gentlemen, with Dane Wigington. Don't you go anywhere, folks. If you want to destroy me.